Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Isn't He so good to us? Amen. We can trust Him to lead us all the way. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could just stand tonight, read a couple scriptures here as we change the order of the service tonight. Amen. Certainly appreciate that special and the testimony. Amen. Sister Anna, we're glad you're here. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We rejoice in what God is doing. Yeah. Amen. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And when one part of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices. Yeah. Amen. So we're thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Nothing can stop a child of God from going all the way. Amen. Because He made the way. Amen. And nothing can stop the plan of God. Amen. You believe that tonight? You believe that about you, yourself? Nothing can stop me. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Amen. Just have a little thought tonight on my heart, that just a little something that we, the ministering brethren there in Alaska, we were talking about many things and things being brought out in the Word, and I just thought maybe I'd share some of those things with you tonight. Just simple little subject, amen. Just appreciate your prayers for my voice and energy. We're thankful that we're on the mend. I'm on the mend, but it's still a little bit of a, takes a little while, you know, kind of surprising. So, amen. Maybe I'm just not as young as I used to be. I don't know. Amen. Yeah. It's all relative, right, brother? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than that, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Amen. How many just have a need? You want to make it known just by an uplifted hand tonight as we go to prayer. Father, You see the hands around the building, Father, and You know every need and every heart, Lord, and every life, Lord, every family, every predestinated seed, Lord, You know all about it. Lord, You've known all about it from before the foundation of the world. So, Lord, we just bring them to You tonight, Lord, knowing that You've provided a way, Lord, that You've determined that You would be the one to provide every need for Your body, Your bride, Your church, Your children. And so tonight, Lord, we just come humbly, Lord, but we come with confidence, knowing that You've promised that You would take care of us and that You would meet every need. And we receive it tonight, Lord. We're not here as third-class citizens. We're here as Your children because You made us that. You determined, Lord, that we would come and ask, and You said that we could have what we have need of. So we come for healing. We come for deliverance. We come for provision, Lord. We come for financial needs, Lord. We come for family needs, for relationships, Lord, for deliverance, for binding spirits, Lord. Lord, all the needs, Father, everyone that's represented here tonight, I pray that You would just move, Lord, on every need and every heart and every life. We thank You, Father, and we just pray that You would bless the Word tonight. Lord, we are not capable of handling this Word, Lord. We're not capable of delivering this Word, but Lord, You are, and we trust You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. So I was kind of mentioning there in the meetings there in Alaska, it was a lot of the ministry was going down that the road of understanding the differences between the different parts of our makeup. Amen. And in our being, that we are a three-part being, and understanding that revelation that Brother Branham brought out so beautifully in the message, and how much power is in it, how important it is. We speak about things like the seventh seal and, you know, things in the book of Revelation, but nothing quite helps us understand our day-to-day walk like that, understanding the difference. Amen. Because the Bible says that in Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is a discerner between the spirit and the soul, and it divides asunder between the bone and the marrow. And so understanding and rightly dividing that, what's working in what realms and what's affecting you in those different realms, is really important. Amen. Do you agree? It's a key that unlocks so much understanding about the trials and things that we go through and the life that we live. So I have some quotes here tonight. Again, I don't think I can really preach, so to speak. So we'll just, I have several statements and things that I'd like to just read to you tonight and maybe exhort you. Maybe it will help. Amen. By God's grace. So I'd also like to read in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death." I mean, we are carnal, right? We are carnal. Just means that we're flesh. We are in this flesh. But to be carnally minded is death. So in other words, to live according to the flesh, right? To let the flesh take control. Carnally minded, that's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's not to say that we can't think about carnal things. I mean, you need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to work, you need to do. Those are carnal things. But those things are not in first place, right? So to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. So you see why this is a mystery, right? When Paul says you are not in the flesh, well, then what is this, right? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying you're floating around like a spirit, you're not in the flesh. But you're not living according to the flesh, to the desires of the flesh. We are living according to the desires of the soul realm. Right, so he says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. And then in the Thyatirian church age, Brother Branham, speaking about this, he says, quote, "I know your faith." Now, he does not say here, as he did to the church in Pergamos, you hold my faith. He is not talking about his faith, but he is commending them for their faithfulness. And as he does, he also mentions their patience. Now, faithfulness and patience go together. In fact, patience is the outcome of faithfulness. For it says in James 1:3, "The trying of your faith worketh patience." There is absolutely no other way in which to gain patience. Surely there's another way. Right? Sure, there's got to be. I mean, there's always a loophole. No? That's how we gain patience. Trying of your faith. Amen. For it has to come by the trial of our faith. Tonight we're speaking about the trying of our faith. Romans 5:3, "Tribulation worketh patience." How highly God regards this outworking of our patience. It's seen in James 1:4. "Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." God's will for us is perfection. How many believes that? God's will for you is perfection. All right? And that perfection is patience. Waiting on God and waiting on God. This is the process of character development. How highly God has commended these saints of the dark ages, patient as lambs led to the slaughter, lovingly, faithfully they serve God. That is all they wanted out of life, just service to their Lord, and how great was to be their reward. So look at the things that he says about patience. God's will for you is patience, or perfection, I'm sorry. Perfection, right? And we all agree, yes, man, I want to be perfect. I want that. Who doesn't want that, right? Perfection is patience. And patience comes from, you say it, the trying of your faith. So the trying of your faith leads to perfection. Amen? I know, it's not shouting material, right? It's the amen. Amen. So we know that we have been placed right into a battleground, right? And as we said this morning, we are overcomers. We've been promised that we will overcome. It's not in doubt. It's not in question. Amen? There are those that are listed in the scripture as overcomers. And once you find yourself in that group, then you are an overcomer. You can know that the Bible is speaking about you, that there's no question that you win and the devil loses. Right? But we've been taught that we are in a battle. For there to be a victory, there has to be a battle waged. And we are engaged in this battle called life. Amen? We didn't choose it. We didn't get to pick when we were born, what circumstances. But God, knowing what each child of God would need, He placed them exactly where they needed to be placed. Born at the time when they needed to be born. Placed in the city, placed in the country, placed in the church, where that child of God would be able to flourish. Where that child of God would be able to come to perfection, would be able to come to maturity. Is that right? And where that child would face the specific battles that child needs to come to perfection. Amen. It's much like the scripture refers to these things as gold, tried in a fire. Amen. Where the one who works the gold, they subject it to heat and they subject it to pressure and they pound on it and they beat it and they heat it again and that process just refines it and perfects it. It drives the unbelief out of it. It drives the worldliness out of it. Amen. But that purifying process is, it's hot, it's hard, amen? It's a struggle, it's a battle, but in the end, it's worth it. In the end, that's how you get perfect gold, amen? The thing about, that it is amazing about the gold is the gold can stand the heat. Amen. The other parts, the whatever, the impurities and the dirt or whatever, the earth that's mixed in with it, that makes it impure, that holds it back from its victory. That can't stand the heat. So when the heat gets turned up in your life, amen, when trials, when God allows the burners to be turned up and you're feeling the heat, what's coming out is going to be gold. Because gold is the only thing that can stand the heat. The heat is not there to destroy the gold. The heat is there to destroy the unbelief. Amen. When a fiery trial comes in your life, it's not there to destroy your faith or to tear down your faith. It's there to show and prove the faith that's already there. That's what's so beautiful about this trying of our faith. It's proving what's already there. Amen? It's showing what God has already done and placed in your life. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. Amen? So that you can have that kind of faith, the kind of faith that will stand the fire, that will stand in the heat, though the furnace be heated 7 times hotter. Amen? Hallelujah. He shapes it and beats it, and it comes out pure and more pure and more pure. And every trial it goes through, it gets more pure and more pure, and it begins to reflect His image. It's so beautiful. Amen. Amen. I'd like to also read you, this is also from the Smyrnian Church Age. Brother Branham says, excuse me, think it not strange. Excuse me. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That's what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? Is that strange? That God wants to develop in you a Christ-like character that comes through suffering. No, sir, he says, we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church is not that is not suffering, is not being tried, hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. But people want to look at someone whose life, everything is going so good. They are the spiritual ones. Well, maybe the most spiritual one is the one that has all those trials and battles. But yet they're walking through it. Amen. Like Brother Doug says, we all have trials. It's some people choose not to let the trials keep them from fellowship, keep them from walking on. Amen. They're getting the victory over the trials. Others have become a weight that easily besets them and is holding them back. And they're allowing the trials to weigh them down instead of using them as a launching pad. Amen? Oh, we're getting quiet on me now. All go through it. All are partakers. Amen? I love how Brother Bram says that. He says, is it strange? Why do you think it's strange? Look at the things that Jesus went through. Look at the things that the apostles went through. You think it's strange that you would go through something like that? That he wants to develop. You say, I want to be like Jesus. Who wants to be like Jesus? Amen. Amen. Some of you aren't sure. I don't know. What am I signing up for? Too late. Amen. You want to be like him, you want to have his character, that comes through suffering. Amen. So we recognize also that this battleground that we're, or this battle that we're in, Brother Branham taught us that it begins in the human mind, right? That's the place where most of that battle is waged, right there in that battleground, that human mind, in between your flesh, soul, he called it like a no man's land, right? Where, you know, in the First World War, they would have trenches on one side, enemies on either side with trenches, and in between was just this no man's land where they would, if you were caught out there, you were in the crossfire, right? It was where the two armies would come together, and that's what's happening in our human mind. It's a battleground where the forces of darkness, the forces of light are engaged in the battle. Amen? And it's where Satan can come and enter into your mind, has access to your mind to plant thoughts and to question and to bring into question and to challenge the Word of God. Amen? That's where the challenge happens, is in your mind. And in your soul, because your soul does not disbelieve, your soul, if your soul's been born again, there is no sin. There is no doubt. There is only faith. Right? So he can't get into your soul and question God's word there, but he can in your mind. But your soul then must do battle against that and receive only the word of God. So that's why the teaching of body, soul, and spirit is so important to us, that we understand that the war for your soul is over. Amen? When you've been born again, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, there is no more war. There is no more battle concerning your soul. It's over, finished, sealed, done. It's a done deal. It's complete. That work is finished. You are now a son or daughter of God, sealed until the day of your redemption. And nothing can stand in the way of that. That's a finished work. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why it's so important. Amen? That's why we emphasize that. Because once that done, that battle is no longer in that soul realm. That battle's been won, but now you're still in a battle. There's a battle in your flesh and a battle in your human spirit. Your carnal mind is enmity against God. Is that right? It must be brought into subjection to the Word of God. Your soul doesn't disbelieve. It has only faith. But your soul has to take the preeminence over your body and your spirit. Amen? The faith that is in that soul. Now this is the part that we're getting to here tonight. The faith of that soul, of your soul, must be tried. Amen? It's going to be tested, tried, and proven. Think about it. Otherwise, I mean, I just got through telling you it's sealed. It's done in your soul. So why doesn't God just take us off the scene? When you're born again, why doesn't he just, okay, just come on, let's go. There's still something to be done, isn't there? There's still a character to be developed, right? There is still a testing and a trying of that faith. Amen. There's a further work to be done once that soul's been sealed in. The faith must be tried. It must be put into conditions, amen, where it can move higher and higher into other realms and take over and overcome unbelief. Your flesh, your human spirit likes to set up its little kingdoms. Amen? It likes to set up, you know, its own little control room and its own little control tower. And it likes to take over. And there are certain parts of your life that your flesh doesn't want to give up. Right? I've got to have this part in my... This is my comfort. This is... we've all got those things, right? Whether it's comfort food or, you know, a favorite blanket, I don't know. Favorite coffee. Amen. Your flesh has certain things that it sets up its little kingdom and it won't let go. Right? And, I have the things that I like and I'm not going to budge on those things. Well, your human part doesn't get to control anymore. That's the problem. Amen? It has to be subject to the Word. And as long as those things aren't against the Word, there's nothing wrong with them. But once they begin to move and hinder your walk with God, then those strongholds have to be torn down. Amen. All right, let me just read you several quotes here. This is from the Message, Where is Faith Expressed? Brother Brown says, notice five. Faith, F-I-T-H, outside. Spirit, J-E-S-U-S, on the inside. And U-Y-O-U. See, that's how standing here looking at you, I don't know of one of you. The Spirit can anoint me, and I still don't know none of you. But when that inside of the inside breaks in, that's God. That's where the outside can reason. And you take a man and you say, well, I'm not supposed to commit adultery. But you know that Spirit tells me I shouldn't commit adultery. But you see, way down in there, there's still a thing there. See, it'll kind of govern it around, and you better watch it. So he's talking about someone who's succumbing to the flesh, right? It says, but when it's directed from the inside, it throws all the rest of it together. That's the guidepost. That's the control tower. That's the inside of the inside. The soul controls the spirit. The spirit controls the body. So an outside whitewash don't make any difference. And that's why it's such an important teaching. Because too many people, they get the outside and they try and clean up. They work on their outward works and the things of the flesh. And they do it through, you know, gritting their teeth. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I said I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to do it. Well, that's good, right, if you can do that. But that's not controlling the outside from the inside. That's trying to whitewash the out from the outside in. So he says, that's an outside whitewash. It don't make any difference. Them religious people back there, Paul called white-walled and so forth, they were outward, just the way a believer, and they had prophecies among them and everything else. But the inside of the inside, it was the soul that disbelieved. So on the outside, they looked good. On the inside, they were rotten. Amen? He says, that's the reason I say people can jump up and down and speak in tongues, and people can shout and lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, and so forth by faith. All these great things there by the Spirit, and still be lost. Because they're anointed ones. Amen. The anointing on the outside, on the flesh. Amen. It has nothing to do with being born again in the Spirit. Thirst. He says, now we find God gives the control tower to you to give you the things that you need. The control tower is in you that directs you. And so he's speaking about different control towers of the body and of the Spirit and of the soul. Right? So the control tower that's in you directs you, and the thirst runs in on the control tower and tells you what you have need of, spiritually speaking. The control tower in the body and in the soul also, there is a control tower in the body that tells you you need what's needed in your body, and it's brought to you by thirst. And there's a control tower in your soul, tells you the spiritual things you have need of, right? And so on and so forth. And you can tell this by what kind of a life is controlling you. Amen? So in other words, by the desires, you can tell where the control is. Amen? Because if you take you take an animal has animal desires. It's going to have the specific type of animal desires. Right? If it's a pig, a hog, it has a certain way of living and it has certain desires. It wants to eat pretty much anything, actually. A pig will pretty much eat anything. They like to wallow in the mud because they don't, you know, they get hot. And they have those desires, but you don't see a horse doing what a pig does. Right? Because they don't have the nature of the pig. So by the outward expression, you know what's going on in the control tower. And not the other way around. Right? You don't try and make a pig a horse and horse make into a pig. The nature that's in there will just not do it. So you can see what your desires are, and then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you. That's creating this desire that you have. See, there are certain things that you thirst for. And it can tell you in your soul what your desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have. I hope you understand that. That's a control tower of the soul, one for the body. And each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. And each one calls for the need of what the caller is calling for. And it sends out a wave of warning. For instance, the flesh is thirst to satisfy the desires in the body. And the spirit's desire for the things that's in the soul desires. Many times these war against one another. And we find that's a great trouble today. Too many people trying to live between those two desires. One desires the things of the earth. The other desires the things of the heaven. Amen. And then from the countdown message, he says, now a natural astronaut has something to control him. When the astronaut is in the air, he has something backwards here, back down on the earth, that controls him. And it's called a radar. And a radar moves him around and shows him where he's at and tells him what he's doing. And the radar controls him from a radar tower here on earth. And that's the natural astronaut. So the spiritual astronaut has a control tower too. A control power, and a control tower too. It's not down here like man is, it's up there. It's the Holy Ghost in him. That's controlling him. A tower of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's under control, keeps him in control by the word, not a bunch of fanaticism or some whooped up nonsense. But thus saith the Lord, and it happens. It's always under control. He's got a control tower, and that's the Holy Ghost. And the word is his program, and he lays right into that program, and the power of the Holy Ghost endows him to move out. It brings the achievement that God wants to be achieved for his people, that it might fulfill what he promised. Amen. So she's speaking about this idea of what is controlling you. Amen. Where do the desires come from? Right? Because motivation and desires is what causes us to do things. Amen? It's what causes action. And it comes from a control tower. It comes from somewhere. He's speaking about thirst, and he's talking about how the body that has needs. It needs food, it needs sleep, whatever, you know, things that it needs. It will let you know that it needs that. And that can become such an overwhelming desire in your life that you will do anything. You will set aside everything. Amen? If you are starving, nothing else will matter. If you are dying of thirst, trust me, you will not be worried about paying the bills at that moment. Right? You won't be worried about tomorrow at work. You'll be thinking about, how am I going to get water to live? Or how am I going to get food? Right? These things become overwhelming desires. And those are important and given to us to help us survive. Amen? But what about in the spirit realm? What about in the soul? Amen? There's sometimes when the soul just raises up and it says, look, this is the most important thing. Amen? It's more important for you to go to church today than to get a little extra sleep. Get some sleep tomorrow. Or go without a couple hours of sleep or whatever. It's more important for you to seek God. It's more important for you to be focused on the things of heaven rather than things of the earth. Amen? And it becomes an overriding desire when that control tower is in control. Let me continue to read to you out of the message, thirst. He says, a vulture wants dead things. That's right. And that's dead. That's exactly right. It just plainly shows here, what is their head and control tower? What is giving them? See, what's in their soul? Their soul longeth for things like that. Their soul longeth for a high intellectual church where the people dress real fine and the pastor takes 15 minutes or 20 minutes. We don't have to worry about that. Amen. But some people, that's an overriding desire. You know, one of the most amazing things is, you know, I've heard interviews and I've just, you know, through the years, you kind of just hear why people choose a church, right? What was it that drew them to this particular church? Well, you know, the pastor's funny. Well, we really liked the children's program. Well, we really liked the worship, right? And hear all of these different things. And most of them deal in the realm of the flesh. It's all about how does that church cater to my flesh? Amen? And it just shows you where the control tower is for that person. And really, if you look at all the different kind of churches out there, all the different kind of religions, they exist because they're meeting a desire. Amen? The big Joel Osteen megachurch where they stand up and smile, you know, and their teeth, you know, do the little everything's perfect, right? He's got the pearly whites. And he just tells you, you're the best. Live your best life now. And just, I don't want to preach against sin because I just want people to be encouraged. The reason that exists is because there is a desire for it. There are people that want that. Amen? And every false thing that's out there, there's somebody that wants to hear that. That's why the Bible says they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So when you have people that down in their soul, they want the true, unadulterated word of God. Amen. There is a body, there is a church, there is a God to give them that desire. Because there's a deep call to the deep. There's got to be a deep to respond to it. Amen? He says their soul longs for a high intellectual church where the people dress real fine and the pastor takes 15 minutes or 20. And if you go over that, they draw him back on the deacon board and he mustn't say nothing about sin. He mustn't say anything about wearing shorts and wouldn't say nothing about people doing this or that or the other. He mustn't mention that at all. If they do, the board will have them throw it out. See what it is? That's their thinking man's filter. The Bible said in 1 John 2:15, if you love this world system or the things of this world, it's because the love of God is not even in you. You see, if the love of God is in you, you love the things of God. Right? Listen to this now. He says, by your desire, you can tell who is on the throne of your heart. By what you love. That's what tells. You say, well, I think them things are all right, Brother Branham. Well, just remember now, in your heart, you know what's there. Yes, sir. By what is feeding your soul. What your soul is thirsting for. And you can see it satisfies that. If it isn't this word, then there's something wrong. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the word only. See? Amen. So, brother, sister, what happens in our lives is trials come in our lives. Amen. To expose those towers that our flesh has set up. Those places that we haven't fully surrendered. The trial comes and exposes it. Amen. It shows the area of weakness, and it tests the faith, and it proves the faith that's already there. Many times, what we call trials are not even trials of our faith. They're stress on our flesh. Amen. Oh, can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Stress on our flesh. Because your flesh doesn't like stress. Amen? And when it gets in a condition where it's being stressed, it begins to, you know, do all sorts of things that you wouldn't expect. And it says things sometimes that it shouldn't say. And it acts in ways that are not correct for a precious Christian believer. Because it's your flesh. Under stress. Amen? But your soul isn't worried by stress. Your soul isn't stressed by trials. Because your soul has faith. Amen? Your human spirit worries. Your soul believes. Your flesh gets stressed. Your soul believes. Amen? When sickness attacks your body, your soul believes. Your soul is not concerned about it. It's not worried. Oh, I'm going through this trial. I'm going through this sickness. It's horrible. Your soul is not worried. Your soul is not concerned. Amen? We have to understand the role that the body plays in all of this. Amen? It's just a tool to accomplish God's will. It doesn't matter. You could have the worst possible circumstance, and your soul can be at perfect peace, perfect confidence. Amen? So what's being tried? That faith is what's being tried. Because your flesh begins to cry out and scream. I'm under in pain. I'm under stress. I'm under trial and temptation. And what has to happen is your faith has to raise up above that. Amen. And take control over it. Amen? And not let you be pulled and your course determined and your not let your testimony be affected by the stress that your flesh is under. What's being tried is your soul's ability to control your spirit and your flesh. Even though your body and your spirit might be freaking out. Amen? I think I've used these examples before. And This one's an easy one for me because I'm not a coffee drinker. When we were up in Alaska, man, there was one of the other ministering brothers was from Nigeria. And he was not a coffee drinker too. And brothers, I found a kindred spirit. Because if you don't drink coffee and you're a minister, you get made fun of. Let me tell you, you're not a preacher. You can't be a preacher and not drink coffee. Well, I found a kindred spirit. So we could just sit together over, you know, we'll have tea. And I had a brother in arms. Amen. So I appreciated that. But, you know, for us non-coffee drinkers, maybe it's tea, whatever. I think I've mentioned this before, but I remember I worked, you know, with business, you know, and people that work in technology, they tend to consume a lot of caffeine and they have strange hours. And I had somebody ask me one time, he didn't ask me, do you like coffee? Do you like tea? Do you like energy drinks? Whatever. His question was, how do you consume your caffeine? I was like, well, I mean, let's just get right down to it then, right? Nobody drinks coffee just because, well, maybe you do. I don't know. But most people are drinking coffee because they want the caffeine, right? I don't know. You know, I just take the caffeine and I just slap a patch on and, you know, I just drink it straight. I don't know, you know. But maybe you've heard the saying, I'm a monster before my morning coffee. Maybe that's you tonight. Amen? I don't know. Don't talk to me. Everybody's seen the little mugs, right? Don't talk to me. I haven't had my morning coffee yet. I haven't had my caffeine, right? I haven't given my flesh what my flesh needs, you know, to be happy yet. And my flesh isn't happy, so don't speak to me yet. Oh, how's that old saying going? He's quit preaching and gone to meddling, right? Amen. Well, you know, that is just a chemical situation in your body. And now it's a very real one. I mean, caffeine is a, you know, there's a real thing going on there. But you know, is that the kind of thing where, you know, we've trained ourselves? I can't be a Christian unless I've had my coffee. I can't be sweet and precious because I haven't given my body its coffee yet. Amen. I'm just using that as an example. You insert whatever thing that your flesh needs. Amen. Your flesh isn't in control. Amen. If I don't get my way, I throw a temper tantrum. That's what your flesh is all about. Right? If my flesh doesn't get its way, it's going to make my life miserable until it gets its way. Amen. Amen. And we've trained it that way. It's like a spoiled child, right? You want to spoil it. How do you spoil a child? You've actually trained them to be a spoiled child. You've given them everything that they ask for. And they say, I want this and I want that. And you give it to them. I want this. And I'll give it to them. That's a spoiled child, right? Well, I'm not, we're not, I'm not, no one in mind, all right? Your flesh is a spoiled brat. Right. Because it gets what it wants. It wants this, you say, okay, you can have that. Now I want this, okay, fine. Now I want that, amen, and it becomes accustomed to it. And when it doesn't get its way, what does it do? It throws a mini temper tantrum. It gives you a headache. Right? It makes you, gives you a short temper, a short fuse. Amen? It makes you say dumb things. Right? And these are all things that we have to overcome. I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. And think about the testing that he went through. When he went through the trials and the initial testing in his ministry, his flesh had to be put into subjection. He did not eat or drink, right? He was hungry. He was tired. He was facing demonic attack. Satan was come to him and tempting him, and his body was being brought unto subjection to the Word of God. Amen? That's one of the reasons why fasting is so effective. Amen? It's not, you know, like some super spiritual thing. All it's doing is you're just denying your flesh. Amen? You've all heard the term hangry, right? I've used it myself. Okay, confession is good for the soul. Who has been hangry before? Hangry means you're hungry and so you're irritable, right? Raise those hands again. Amen? You've been irritable. I'm hungry and I'm not happy about it, right? Hungry and angry. That's when you blow up at somebody. That's when you get frustrated, right? You lash out at someone. You lose your patience, right? Why? Because your flesh is weak. And your flesh is having a temper tantrum. It's trying to shrug off the control of the soul. Amen? In the scripture, you know, maybe you wonder, maybe you look at it and you go, why in the world did Esau give up his birthright for a bowl of pottage? Well, maybe he was hangry. Right? He was a man of the flesh. And he didn't care. He was like, man, I want to eat. I'm hungry. He even said, what? You know, what good does it do me to have this birthright? I'm dying. I'm starving. Right? But it made him act in a way that maybe he wouldn't ordinarily act because he was allowing the flesh to have the preeminence. So a moment ago, I was talking about Jesus. Jesus, when he was tempted, he was weakened by hunger. He was tempted yet without sin. He did not let his flesh get the best of him. He did not let his flesh overcome him. He did not let you know that his flesh was hungry, right? It was hungry. It was thirsty. It was tired. It was weak. It had fleshly needs just like you and I. But he didn't let the human part be ruled, or he allowed the human part to be ruled over by the soul. Amen? Amen. Yeah, some of you are looking at me kind of funny. You're trying to figure out, where is he going with this? All right, questions and answers. I just mentioned Esau. You think I just make that up? Esau was hungry. He said, but you see, if goodness were to be counted, if we walked up there and stayed around the tent for a few days, we'd find out that we'd have picked Esau. In other words, he was a good guy, right? But in his heart, he wanted that birthright. He didn't care about anything else. He wanted that birthright. That's all he wanted. So he's actually speaking about Jacob there. And Esau wanted to be a nice fellow, to take care of everything and just do everything right and make sure everything. And he was a real good legalist. Esau was. And we know, I'm sure you know, really good people, right? Really nice people. People that you would say, man, they're a better person than I am. He was a real good legalist, Esau was, and he wanted everything just right. And Jacob wanted one thing, and that was the birthright. You see, he was not minding the things of the flesh. Esau was fleshly minded. But Jacob, he said he wanted the birthright, and that's all he cared about. You see what happened to both boys? Even out of Jacob come 12 patriarchs, which brought forth the 12 tribes of Israel out of Jacob, and God called Jacob his own son. You see what I mean? That Holy Ghost ought to be more important to you than everything else there is in the world. Amen. Your prestige, your life, your job, your anything there is, you should not cease until you have it. You must receive it. And it must be the most. And you say, well, I'm afraid at my work, I'm afraid that my husband, don't be afraid. Let that be first place. Let everything else go and let that be first. Well, I expect to get it one of these days, Brother Branham. Not one of these days now. This is the time. Let it be first. before I do anything else. Let me have it now. Desperate. That would help answer our question. When you get desperate for it, you really got to have it or die, see? Then that's when you're going to get it. And then Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, speaking of Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. Why did he have to learn obedience through the things that he suffered? What was suffering? The flesh. Right? The flesh was doing the suffering. Bringing his flesh under subjection, even though it was suffering. Even though his flesh was not born of sin, it was still flesh, right? I believe that, like I said before, that's the reason why fasting was given to us as a tool, because it allows us a way to deprive the flesh, right? It allows us the way to weaken the flesh to a certain extent. And you know, we don't want to get carried away with it. You don't want to go too far. You need your flesh, right? You need your strength. But you want your flesh to be subject to and under your spirit, your soul. Amen? We're not talking about the Catholics that want to whip themselves, right? They take that too far. They're trying to beat themselves to atone for something, for things that they've done. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about self, what do they call it? Flagellation or whatever. Beating yourself, right? You can't cleanse yourself of sin by doing those things. What we are talking about is bringing your flesh under subjection to faith. Amen? Amen. And it's something that takes discipline and exercise. And it's something that comes through trials. Amen. It kind of forces the issue, right? We wouldn't have to believe for healing if we didn't get sick, right? The trial forces the issue. We wouldn't have to believe that God can provide every need unless we found ourselves in need. We know, brother, sister, that the fullness of the adoption is the change of our bodies. Right? It's the full conversion of our bodies and our spirits. And the change, and we'll have a new body that will fully agree with the Word. But, brother, sister, that's why then there won't be those trials. Because your body will agree. Amen? You won't have to overcome. Amen. From the message, what was the Holy Ghost given for? He says, we're in a day now. Back there, they wasn't half as smart as today. They couldn't make an atomic bomb or an automobile. They didn't have science and things as we have now, but to try to say man blowed together some dust and so forth and take some analysis and try and prove it to make infidels out of people. But now, when we need it, the Spirit of God raises up a standard. What is it? He's pouring out His Spirit. Then those that are resting out yonder in the grave or under the altar of God, as the Scripture says, they're crying, how long, Lord? How long? How much longer? God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time, when God can pour into us His fullness, His power, His resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead and we go in the rapture. How many want that? Okay. See, so now you're saying, I want to be like Christ. When we were talking about sharing the trials, you were a little hesitant. But no, you say, yeah, I want to be like Him. We want to come as close to Him, and we want Him visible among us so that He will raise the dead and take us in a rapture. Then you're asking for trials. Now, we're going to show after a while that just those that are filled with the Holy Ghost goes in that rapture. For the rest of the dead live not for the space of 1,000 years. That's right. Just the Holy Spirit people was all that went in that rapture. So we've got a battle that we are engaged in. Amen? Amen? But we're not letting the flesh dictate. our decisions as believers. Amen? We let the Word of God dictate what we think and what we say and how we live and what our confession is. Amen? We don't let the flesh dictate our confession. We let the Word of God, we let our soul that has faith in the Word of God say, no, this is what God's Word said about me. Amen? My flesh might be depressed. It might be down in the dumps. It might be just spinning one way and have no clue what hit me out of the blue, and I don't even know which way to turn, but in my soul, it is well. My soul says, God's Word is still true, and I still believe it, and it is going to come to pass. He will take care of you if you crucify the flesh and lay it on the altar. Amen? Amen. You know, Jesus, He poured out His flesh. He was poured out. I love that the phrase, poured out. Because the Bible says that they looked at Him when He was, you know, in His 30s, and they said, you're not a man over 50. Right? So His flesh was beat up. His flesh was looked old and weary, but it didn't stop Him. It didn't matter. His flesh, He only needed to get to the end goal. Amen? And then when He didn't need it anymore, He laid that body down. Amen? And then picked it back up again. He takes care of His own, brother, sister. Amen? He didn't need a flesh to live into His 80s. Because He was only called to be on this earth 33 years. Amen? But He promised that He would take care of us if we put it in subjection to the Word. That's not, you know, I'm not here to, like I said, I'm not here to just say, well, we just need to beat ourselves up and our flesh is, you know, no good and why do we even, no, that's, your flesh is given to you. Amen? But it has to be under subjection to the Word of God. It has to be in the right place. And once you put it in the right place, it will be blessed. You'll be blessed with health. Amen? That's when the Word says that, you know, I would that you prosper, even as your soul prospers, and be in good health, and serve God, and all of those blessings. Why not, right? But that only comes by the flesh being subject to the Word of God. He will take care of us. Amen? If we stay committed to His service. Amen. And don't think it's strange when these fiery trials come. They're there for our perfection. They're there for our good. They're there for us to overcome. They're there for us to go through and to expose that beautiful gold. Amen? Amen. Can I just read you a couple more statements and we'll just finish up with these here tonight? Thank you for bearing with me. I know this is strange today, a little different, but it's God's Word the same. Amen. Greatest battle ever fought. He says there has to be a place selected, and there's a mutual ground, a no man's land, and they fight at that place. They don't just fight one fight over here and one down there and one run over there. There's a battlefront, and where they meet and test their powers is where each army tests its strength against the other army. It's a mutual meeting place. Now, don't miss this. When this great battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. And that battleground began in the human mind. And there is where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle, where it was to begin. And that is because that decisions are made from the mind, in the head. Now, they never started it from some organization. They never started it from some mechanical affair. The grounds never started there. Therefore, that organization can never do the work of God. Because the battlegrounds where you've got to meet your enemy is in the mind. You've got to make your choice. And it meets you. I want this little girl here that's very sick to be sure to listen to this now real close. Decisions are made in the mind, in the head. And that's where Satan meets you. And the decisions are made because that God made a man that way. He made you to choose. Amen? That's where the battle is fought. And that's where you've got to make your choice. That's where Satan has access. And when you come into a test or a trial, you have the temptation before you to quit on God. Amen? Job's wife told him, just curse God and die. Just quit. Why would you even go on? Just quit. Amen? Don't tell me Satan hasn't told you that. Why are you even going to go on? Just quit. Right? And you can choose to believe it or not. You can choose to accept it or not. But there's something in the soul. Amen. So why would I quit? I'm the winner. Amen. Amen. The soul is sitting there in the faith realm, in heavenly places. Think about that. Right? It's sitting there in heavenly places. And your mind and your body and your spirit is going, oh, I should just quit. I'm such a loser. And your soul's going, what are you talking about, man? We're sitting here in heavenly places. I'm in the Shekinah glory. I'm living in the presence of God. What are you complaining about? Amen? And your soul just kind of reaches up and it just goes, smack. The word says, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Believe that. Amen. Don't listen to the devil. Right. Amen. That's such an amazing, I just love that image, right? The devil's coming to a believer and he's telling them lies and putting them in their mind. And he thinks he's getting somewhere because the mind is going, oh yeah, okay, sure, yeah, right? And the soul is in heavenly places already. Amen. It's sealed in. The devil can't get there. It doesn't have access to it. The soul is sitting there going, yeah, but we already made it. The devil's trying to tell you to quit, and I'm already there. Hallelujah. Amen. Too late, devil. The devil's trying to tell you you're sick, and the soul is sitting there going, I'm already healed. I'm sitting here whole, complete, knowing that healing is mine and belongs to me. And the devil, oh yeah, I know he's trying. Mind, it's okay. Calm down, mind. This is your soul speaking. Calm down. I'm already here, I can tell you. The place that I'm sitting, I know you can't understand it, mind. I know you can't reason it out, but I'm telling you, the place where I'm sitting right now, I'm sitting on holy ground. I'm in communion with Him. Trust me. God's word says that you're an overcomer. God's word says that you are sealed. God's word says you win. Amen. But the battle has to be fought. Right? The battle has to be waged. Why? Because it's the trying of that faith. It's going to show that that faith is there. Because otherwise you can't see it. How do you know that that faith is there unless it has an opportunity to come and overcome what's going on in your mind? To overcome what's going on in your flesh. That's how you know a true believer, right? You see them. The trial comes and hits them like a ton of bricks. And what happens? They stagger around for a little bit and they go, what happened? Right? But eventually you see that there's something on the inside. You see there's a life in that soul. Why? Because it begins to overtake what's happening in their mind. Amen. It begins to overwhelm and it begins to rise up and it says, but the word says, I am a child of God. The word says, this land belongs to me. The word says, this is my inheritance. And by that, you know what's on the inside that could never be seen otherwise. It would never be exposed. It would never come out. It would never shine. Except that trial draws it out. And it proves the faith that's in that soul. It proves what the Holy Spirit has done on the inside of the inside. In that secret place, it proves what nothing, there's no other way to see it. Happened, something that happened in that invisible realm. And the trial comes and proves it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother, sister, he's going to take care of his own. Amen. He's going to take care of every need that you have. He's going to lead you on through. He's going to fight your battles. Amen. You don't have to fight the battle. Let him fight the battle. You just stand on his word, and he will fight the battle for you. Amen. But we can't do it in our flesh. Amen. In our flesh, it's just weakness upon weakness. But we must surrender to him. Amen. Let me just, can I read you two more quotes? Is that all right? Let's stand and we'll just read these. Laodicean church age, in each of the three major trials, in each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame them by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. And right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Also, it is the only way that you can know if you are overcoming. Because that word can't fail. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, what do we have access to tonight? Amen. We'll just finish with this. Former and latter reign. He says, let's go over to Revelation. Jesus said himself, he that overcometh, I will give him the morning star. The Bible said that. What is it? An overcomer. One that's overcome the world, overcome self, and overcome pride. Amen. The world, self, and pride. I'll make him the morning star. What's it to do? I'll shine him up and set him up there. And my oncoming power will reflect my own presence. Hallelujah. In the darkness. Amen. We will reflect his presence in the darkness. Amen. Overcoming world, self, and pride. He says, hallelujah, in the darkness, him, he that overcomes, will I give the morning star. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, oh, how we love you tonight, Father. How we thank you, Lord. Lord, you never leave us or forsake us, Lord. You're always with us. Lord, and we're so thankful tonight, Lord, that we know, Lord, that your word is sure. Your word is true. Your word will never fail. It will defeat Satan on any grounds and any time, in any circumstances. It is a mighty weapon of warfare, Lord. And Lord, your word is what we use to overcome. We believe it and we confess it tonight, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for those that have been born again by your Spirit, Lord, because we know that down in that soul, Lord, we have already passed from death unto life. We've already been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And there's nothing that the enemy can do. He can't get to it. He can't thwart it. He can't change it. He can do nothing. He's entirely, completely helpless to stop a sealed, born-again child of God. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Lord, we might be going through trials tonight. We might be going through all kinds of heartache and temptations and struggles. But, Lord, we know, God, that we are going through. We are going to get through this, Lord. We are going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, your word, oh God. Our flesh may not like it. Our flesh may not be comfortable. But Lord, it only is just here to serve a purpose, to bring out the faith that's in our soul, to try that faith that it can come forth as gold, tried in the fire, oh God. You've got a perfect plan, Lord. We rejoice in your perfect plan, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your love, your elective love, Lord, that's put us right where we need to be. Nothing is out of cater. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is out of time. Lord, your children are right where they're supposed to be tonight. And we believe that everything, Lord, is predestinated according to your purpose and your plan. Lord, and we believe, Lord God, that your love, your elective love is sufficient, oh God. It's all that we need, Lord. And we thank you so much for it tonight, oh God. Lord, I just pray that you bless my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. May we have freedom tonight to worship you and to thank you, oh God, for what you brought them through. Knowing, Lord God, that you're not finished yet. We're still here on earth, so there's still a work to be done. There's still a life to be lived. There's still a battle to be waged and a battle to be won. And Lord, we believe that that's our purpose here tonight. Help us, Lord, to take that next step, Lord. Take the next inch of ground, oh God, not to give up at all to the enemy, not to give way, but to press forward, oh God. Taking our inheritance, taking what belongs to us, not because we deserve it, Lord, but because you've purchased it for us. Oh, how we love you and how we thank you tonight, oh God. Lord, I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, lift up their faith, oh God. May they see tonight what you've placed in them, Lord. The power that is in their soul, oh God. The power to overcome tonight. God, may they step out and use it tonight. May they not be ashamed of this gospel. Oh God, how we love you. Just pray that you just bless the remainder of this service tonight. Bless each one, Father. Those that are listening in, Lord. I pray that you just water this word to them, Lord. Bless their souls, oh God. Feed your children. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you an overcomer tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. If you're his child, you're an overcomer. Amen. Amen. That's a good key. That's mine.
Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
Seat at the table tonight.